This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Not too often we get to hear from female veterans of World War II, but that's the treat we have today with Helen Kearney of Salinas, California. So many women contributed to the war effort during that time period, and they did so in many different ways. Some of them here on the home front, not necessarily in uniform, but Helen was one of the roughly 350,000 American women who were in uniform. She became an army nurse and served on the island of Saipan toward the end of the war. Let me make a little connection for you here. See if you can follow where I'm going. One of Salinas's hometown heroes is a guy named Everett Alvarez. In fact, there's even a high school named after Everett Alvarez in Salinas right now. You talk about a man with a remarkable story. I've linked some information about him at hometownheroesradio.com if you want to check it out. But he was the very first U.S. aviator captured during the Vietnam War. He was shot down shortly after President Lyndon Johnson's Gulf of Tonkin speech in August of 1964, and Alvarez remained a prisoner of war until February of 1973, 8.5 years in captivity. He's written a couple books about it. I'll link those for you, too. And not only is the high school in Salinas named after him, there's a park in Santa Clara, a post office in Maryland. And while he was a prisoner, Naval Air Station Lemoore actually named a subdivision after him. But why am I talking about Everett Alvarez Jr. in the middle of Helen Kearney's story? Well, guess who Alvarez's track coach was at Salinas High School? Bill Kearney, that soldier that Helen met on Saipan all those years ago and was married to for 65 years until he passed away in 2011. You hear Bill's name at least once a year in Salinas when the Bill Kearney Invitational Track Meet rolls around. And back in 1945, I'm sure you were saying his name a lot, Helen, you got to come back home from the Pacific before he did. What do you remember about that, about coming back home to America after the end of World War II?
Well, I went to, while I was waiting for him to come back, there are only two registered nurses in the state of Iowa available. So I was working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for months, because in those days they didn't have ICUs, and if you had a very sick patient, you had to hire a private duty nurse. And so I was kept so busy waiting until he came back.
And how did your parents feel about the fact that you met a guy overseas that was going to be your husband?
Well, he was a Californian, and they didn't want me to move out here and be so far away from me. But, you know, that's the way it is.
So once he got back, you two got married, and you've been here in Salinas since 1947?
Yes.
What are the things that you remember fondly here?
Everything. We just had a wonderful life here. I couldn't even begin to enumerate them.
I'm sure there are some people listening, male and female, that maybe haven't heard from a woman who served in World War II before. Certainly nowhere near as many women serving as there were men, and that was reflected there on Saipan where you were. What are you proud of as a woman veteran of World War II? When you think back on it, what gives you that pride and satisfaction?
Well, I'm not proud because I didn't really do anything. I'm not like these heroes that you've had on your program before that really sacrificed. I mean, I didn't have that to offer. However, I did what I could, so that's the best I could do.
Have you had occasion to stay in touch with other ladies that you served with or talk to other nurses from that time period?
Just once. I ran into one at the hospital in San Francisco, and she said to me, "We didn't realize what we had, did we?" And then she looked at me, she said, "Well, you did." I said, "Yes." I thought it was a great experience. It's something, too, that very few women share with their husbands is their time in the service. And I got to share that part of it with Bill. Of course, he'd been in for several years beforehand. But just being a part of the military was a good experience. You have an understanding, and of course we had it very easy compared to what some of the men did, you know, had to put up with and everything. We were better taken care of and protected and all that.
Like I said, you've been in Salinas since 1947. I'm sure you have a lot of friends here. Do they know what you did in World War II?
Very few of them. Most people don't know about it, and many people don't aren't really interested in that, you know, something they don't relate to.
Well, here's your opportunity. A lot of people listening, your age and younger and even much younger. What do you think people should remember and understand about World War II? You saw those thousands of men and you know what some of them went through, and you also know what the women went through at that time. When we try to put World War II in perspective and why it matters today, what kind of answer do you have for that?
I don't really have an answer to that. It's we were just so isolated from normal society when you're over there and not in the States, and you just didn't have the news that you have today, and you're young. You don't think about things like you do later.
What was your favorite song to dance to back over there?
Oh, gosh. I love to dance to anything. I didn't have a favorite. Till the End of Time, perhaps.
Till the End of Time, a Perry Como classic. And Perry Como never served in the military, but you might remember he did play Sergeant Laddie Green in the World War II era film Something for the Boys. And, of course, he performed for the troops many times in USO shows. I'm sure there's a few of you out there in our audience who can hop in the time machine with us and go back to the dance floor, just like Helen is going to right now, if we go ahead and listen to a little bit of Till the End of Time.
Till the end of time, long as stars are in the blue, long as there's a spring, a bird to sing, I'll go on loving you. Till the end of time, long as roses bloom in May, my love for you will grow deeper with every passing day, till the wells run dry and each mountain disappears, I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you love and live for till the end of time.
The unmistakable voice of Perry Como, Till the End of Time. One of those songs Helen would have danced to with her late husband Bill. They met on Saipan, and I'm sure you met a lot of people on Saipan, Helen. What about the native inhabitants there, the Chamorros? Did you ever interact with them at all?
Actually, they lived in their own compound. No, people in the armed services were not allowed to be around them at all. It's just that when I sang in the church choir, the chaplain had permission to take the choir in. It was just a small choir, and sing for them. So we actually, I got to see them, meet them personally. They're very small, physically small, and sweet, just the kindest, sweetest people. What was interesting was that the church was held in a bombed-out building, and there was a wall between two sections of it, and the men sat on one side and the women sat on the other side, and the minister stood in between the two to preach, and we sang to them that way. And they were lovely, lovely people.
Well, is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you think people need to know about you and your story and the Nurse Corps in World War II?
Not really. All I know is that I do relate to anyone in the armed forces. When my husband and I were in Turkey, we happened to meet a couple of American soldiers walking away from some sort of a palace. And when we identified ourselves as being formerly in the service, there was this instant relationship there. It's just a feel. And you do care about those men and women, too, now, of course. But you care about them because you were part of it at one time.
Are you proud of your service to our country?
Yes, sure. I'm glad I did it. And I think every experience you have is helpful to you later on in life. But that in particular, you can't stand, for instance, to see the flag mistreated or and I probably would never have noticed it too much if I hadn't been in the service. And I appreciate what people, the service people have done for our country. We just take it for granted too much.
And that's one of the biggest reasons this program exists and why I've been trying to tell veteran stories for all these years. We should not take it for granted. And I know the people out there who listen to this show every week sure don't. I think I know two other people who don't take it for granted, because without World War II and both of their parents serving and happening to meet, your son and daughter would have never been born. You ever think about that? How different so many things would have been if you and Bill had not been on Saipan at the same time, or even if his roommate hadn't ended up in your hospital for Bill to come visit?
No, I didn't. No, I don't.
There's a lot of what ifs, aren't there?
I know.
And you mentioned singing in the choir on Saipan. You're still singing in the choir now, right? How often do you do that?
Yes, we rehearse every week, and we give performances in before Christmas and in the around Memorial Day. And we go to nursing homes to sing and also give a big concert. And it's very good. Wonderful music. We enjoy it. All of us enjoy it a lot.
Why do you keep doing that? Because I think a lot of people at age 91 say, enough of that. What keeps you going? What do you get out of it?
I love to sing, for one thing. It gives me a chance to sing. And also, we go around to nursing homes and sing for them, and we give to the community, you know, put on great performances, and I get a lot out of it.
And I've got to ask you, because I think everyone that's heard you today can tell that you think on your feet, you've got a sharp memory, and maybe they're saying, no, she's not really 91. What's your secret to staying so young and sharp?
Oh, dear. It's a combination of things, really. Mostly, you know that God's giving you help all the time. You have to turn to God for help. And he gives it to you. And then also you have to contribute too and keep active, not just, and keep contributing and keep going no matter what.
Any other funny moments from your time in the service that we didn't touch on?
Well, yes, there was one kind of, well, there's always funny moments at times, but when we were put on the ship in New York Harbor, for some reason or other, there's a snafu, and they took us back off the ship, put us on buses, and took us back to Fort Dix for the night. And as we came to a stop sign, all the people thought we were returning from Europe. And they came running out with cups of boiling hot coffee and donuts and stuff and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, the light was going to turn right away. We didn't have time to explain. So we just said, oh, you're welcome, you know. And it was funny. We had to, you know, but they were so sweet. So it was really, they were showing their appreciation so much for something we hadn't done. But we could, there was no way to tell them that. So
it was just thanking you in advance. It was a down payment. They knew you were going to do something, maybe?
I guess so.
And along those same lines, you know, it took 60 years to see a national World War II memorial erected in Washington, D.C. It took nearly $200 million in private donations to do it, a huge chunk of that from World War II veterans. And I know you haven't been there to see it yet, Helen. The Honor Flight Network is taking veterans back there free of charge to experience it firsthand. I've noticed on the flights that I've been involved with, the female veterans become very popular. Now, it might not be the 1,000 guys for every girl ratio that you had on Saipan. We don't have a plane that big. But I think the fellas would enjoy having you around.
Well, in that case, maybe I should go.
I'll make sure you get an application. And if you're listening at home and you're a veteran, or there's a veteran in your life who you think would be a great candidate to receive an honor flight free of charge to go see that World War II memorial, go to honorflight.org, O-R-G, honorflight.org, and find the hub near you. Maybe you're listening in Fresno and Bakersfield and Modesto, Stockton, Albuquerque. Wherever you are, there's an honor flight hub near you, and they would love to get those veterans to Washington, D.C. Helen Kearney, you're a good sport. Sure enjoyed this time with you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for helping the rest of us understand that World War II veterans aren't necessarily men. Women can claim that title, too. Don't forget to check out the photos of Helen then and now on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. We're out of time this time, but I trust you'll join us again next time. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you once more that freedom is not free.